You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. This is Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship with the Archdiocese of Chicago.
And I'm Danielle Knott, also from the Archdiocese of Chicago with Liturgy Training Publications. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning. Happy Ash Wednesday.
Yes, happy Ash Wednesday.
We begin the very start of the solemn season of Lent, mm-hmm. one of our favorite seasons. Mm-hmm. We're here on Focus on the Liturgy every fourth Wednesday of the month from 9 to 10, and we do exactly what the title of our show implies. We spend that hour looking at various aspects of our Catholic communal liturgical life. We look at the rituals and the rites of the Church.
We break open the Word. We look at the blessings and sacramentals and the sacraments, talk about the liturgical year and all of the seasons throughout that year,
which will be pretty much our focus today. It mm-hmm. just happens we fell on for this month on Ash Wednesday, and so there's our show.
It's a perfect timing for our show. We start a new liturgical season. Ash Wednesday is obviously the first day of the Lenten season,
which is the great season of preparation mm-hmm. for baptism mm-hmm. and a preparation to renew baptism mm-hmm. for those of us who have already died in the waters of the font. Mm-hmm. And so an awful lot there. In fact, our next show will be toward the end of that season, mm-hmm. right before
Holy Week.
Holy Week.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a lot to look at today.
Yes, we do.
Ash Wednesday, long associated with penance, a day mm-hmm. of penance, a mm-hmm. day of somber day.
Mm-hmm.
A day of fasting and self-denial, mm-hmm. day of abstinence. Why would anyone want to start it with that kind of description?
Well, it's a great reminder of who we're called to be, of the
dour, somber, sad.
Well, actually, it's a joyful season.
How so?
I know that might be surprising to people, but there's hope and there's joy in our self-denial, that there's always a promise, that expectation of something more. And it's and that being in touch with the suffering of Christ reminds us of what that suffering opens us up to be, that there's joy in resurrection. And Lent points us to that joy of resurrection, that our renewal of baptismal promises, those that are preparing for the waters of baptism, that's what it's all about, of participating in that resurrection.
Right. I always, and we've talked about it a number of times, for how many people there's that sense, you know, that Lent is you're supposed to be sad. Mm-hmm. No laughing, mm-hmm. no joy, no mm-hmm. happiness during Lent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what it is.
No.
I always cite one of my heroes, Father Walter Burkhardt,
mm-hmm.
Jesuit, one of the best Catholic preachers that we've had in modern times. He used to teach homiletics and write about homiletics. So he was the one who said, most of us go into Lent kicking and screaming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that we avoid it, or we don't look forward to it, and it's Lent again. And that's, like you were saying, that's not what is at the heart of the season.
No, it's not what it's about. You know, it's funny because when people ask me what my favorite liturgical season is, and of course, everyone knows Christmas is my ultimate favorite, but I love Lent, and they're surprised by that. How can you love this season? But it's so rich.
Yeah.
You know, the symbols, the metaphors, it's all about our redemption.
The scriptures during the mm-hmm. season, the texts that we pray at Mass. You're right. It's all about our redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nothing but joy in that.
You can't have resurrection without suffering, and vice versa. They
right.
go hand in hand.
Right. In fact, we used to always point to the first preface for the Eucharistic mm-hmm. prayer in Lent that talks about not sadness and dourness, but talks about joy.
For by your gracious gift each year, your faithful await the sacred Paschal feasts with the joy of minds made pure, so that more eagerly intent on prayer and on the works of charity, and participating in the mysteries by which they have been reborn, they may be led to the fullness of grace that you bestow on your sons and daughters.
Everything in there is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the with joy of minds made pure. Looking toward the rebirth.
Mm-hmm. And I love how it's very clear of what our Lenten promises are. I mean, we talk about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and the prefaces always, highlight certain aspects of our faith. And this is the very first preface of Lent, so it's very clear on what we're called to do during Lent, that we may be more eagerly intent on prayer and on the works of charity and participating in the mysteries.
All toward the end of all of that, the prayer, the works of charity, participating more in the mysteries, all as a means of preparation
mm-hmm.
for baptism and for
exactly.
renewal of baptism.
Exactly.
And it all starts today. Maybe a little bit of history in this first segment about Ash Wednesday. I mean, it's been part of our liturgical year for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
Dates back to a time when the period right before Easter was geared heavily towards those who were preparing for initiation
mm-hmm.
Into the death and resurrection of Christ, mm-hmm. Initiation into the church, and then ultimately spread to those who were already believers, to those who were already baptized into Christ. And the ashes, obviously, a symbol of penance.
Mm-hmm.
The Old Testament, the prophets would cover themselves in ashes and sit in the ash. Job sat in the ash pile and literally cover themselves, literally ashes on the head. And it's funny, which is, I mean, that's the traditional application of the ashes, is on the top of the head.
Right on the top of the head.
And over time, that morphed into
to the forehead.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the I always like the idea, though, that the ashes, in a sense, a sign of our mortality.
Oh,
the ashes, a sign of penance.
Yeah.
The ashes, a sign of, of what we want to get rid of,
mm-hmm.
to divest
mm-hmm.
ourselves
mm-hmm.
of. And they're placed in the form of a cross.
Right. So we have the outward sign to other people. We are a witness. When we come to church, we're signed with the ashes, we're signed with the cross. We are a witness to everyone. We keep them on our forehead for the rest of the day. We don't wash them off.
Don't wash them off.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we don't. Well, okay, I got my ashes, and then rub them off.
No, don't wash them
Leave
off.
Leave them.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a in a sense, it's a badge. It's a public witness,
mm-hmm.
as you say. Not just Catholic. A number of Christian denominations make use of ashes on this day.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It's in all of that. It's a wonderful witness to Christ.
Yes, it is.
And to his power over sin and to his power over death.
And it's a fascinating day to me because it's not a holy day of obligation. Yet how many people come on this day?
Right. There's something deep within
mm-hmm.
us that wants to observe Ash Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
There's something deep within us that wants to be
renewed.
Cured.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, cured, mm-hmm. made well,
the
renewed,
world is full
reborn.
Of pain, and we need hope.
And it's in us.
Mm-hmm.
People literally seek that out. You'll see them. You'll see it on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
You'll see it in the store.
Yeah.
Later tonight, when I stop to get my fish for dinner, it'll be there as well. Stay with us here on Focus on the Liturgy. We'll be right back after these messages, talking about Ash Wednesday, talking about the season of Lent.
When a neighbor's cupboards are bare, we help. When our cupboards are bare, we need your help. The past few months have been the most difficult for families that come to Catholic Charities for food. Demand is up and donations are down. Help us restock our shelves so we can feed those in need this winter. Visit catholiccharities.net/food or call 312-655-7525 to find out how you can help.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. This is Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
And we're talking about Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent and the entree into this great time of renewal and preparation. Right before that break, Danielle, we were just talking a little bit about the history of Ash Wednesday and it's really its place in our lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, we ended there talking about how even though, like you noted, it's not a holy day of obligation, how many people seek this day out?
Right.
A testament to our desire, mm-hmm, to be renewed,
right,
you know, our desire to be remade, to be recreated. And that's rooted in that hope, that Christian hope that you were talking about before. It really, Lent really is a journey.
It is a journey.
You know, you look at the scriptures that accompany us throughout this whole season, and they continually point up and raise the great journeys of our tradition.
Mm-hmm. We'll look at the, what we finally culminate Lent with the story of the Exodus, and that Passover from death to life, and that's what we're journeying to. We're trying to find that promised land, our promised land. Lent in itself is really a symbol of a procession, of a pilgrimage.
Yeah.
That spiritual journey, that spiritual awakening, that call to conversion. And I think we've often called it, you and I on the air on past shows, of it's a retreat for the church.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the idea of it. I mean, it's the idea that these days should be different,
right,
for us.
You know, right.
We take this season and this journey and these 40 plus days and we behave differently.
Right.
We live differently.
Right, we do. But we also need to think about, you know, why. I mean, people give up things or they do something more. What's underneath that? You know, what do we learn from that?
To what end?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and we'll talk about the traditional practices later on in the show, but it's all to what end?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Lent is.
Right.
You know, it's there's a purpose, mm-hmm, to it.
Well, in the blessing and distribution of ashes that we will celebrate today, one of the options for the prayers, actually, it's very clear. O God, who desire not the death of sinners, but their conversion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Always, mm-hmm, always at the heart of it is the idea of to be converted more,
right,
and
more fully to Christ,
and, right,
mm-hmm,
more,
mm-hmm,
into the, in a sense, to be, for those of us who have already been baptized, it's to be converted more into the image of Christ that we were baptized to be.
Right.
For those who are preparing, obviously, the last period of their intense spiritual preparation prior to initiation, to be more wholly converted to the Christ that they've fallen in love with.
Right. And what baptism calls us is into relationship. So there's that relational aspect of healing that relationship between ourselves and God, with ourselves, with each other.
Between ourselves, mm-hmm, and the community.
Mm-hmm.
Lent gives us that opportunity over and over and over again each year.
Right.
You know, it's not, okay, this is another Lent just like last year.
Right.
it isn't another Lent like last year. The idea is we're at the same place, but at a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're at the same place on that circle of the liturgical year, but ideally at a deeper level.
We're always growing as people of faith. We're always learning from
always
our mistakes. We're always called to grow deeper. So Lent isn't about, oh my goodness, I'm a horrible person. Look at everything I've done. It's how, what do I learn from these to be a better person, to be more Christ-like.
To be more Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that in those who are journeying with us in the RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. You can't talk about Lent without talking about the RCIA.
Not at all. I think that the RCIA catechumens and canonates are a living symbol of what Lent is all about, one of the primary symbols of Lent.
Catechumens and candidates.
Catechumens are those that are seeking baptism. They have not yet been baptized. Candidates are those that have been baptized, maybe that they are seeking full initiation with the Catholic Church, that they may have already had been initiated into the Catholic Church and are seeking either Eucharist or confirmation, or those that are joining us from other faiths.
The third grouping third group in that process of the RCIA, catechumens, candidates, and as of Lent, the elect.
Mm-hmm.
Those catechumens who are elected for baptism this coming Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And that election is marked in a solemn liturgy, a solemn rite that's celebrated at the cathedral at the beginning of Lent, the rite of election.
Mm-hmm.
And we've begun those here in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Last weekend, right?
We began last weekend. We have five rites of election here in the Archdiocese of Chicago because there are so many parishes. We have 370 plus parishes. And because of the number of catechumens and candidates.
How many? Do you have the breakdown? Do you remember offhand how many
there are? They're still registering. And so generally we get, there are about between around 600 to 700 catechumens.
That's amazing. That really is amazing.
Those who are unbaptized seeking full initiation.
Mm-hmm.
With those kinds of numbers. The candidates are generally about 800 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are baptized in another Christian denomination and seek to come into the full communion of the Catholic Church.
And still those combined numbers, that's a huge testament of faith.
That
blows my mind every year. It's amazing.
For the listeners, I mean, I ideally what we would be hoping is that as we're talking, you're calling to mind
mm-hmm.
who the catechumens and the candidates are in your parish. Every one of us should know who the catechumens and candidates are in our parish.
Right.
We should be aware of
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not, then something might be a little askew.
Right. Well, it's that whole communal aspect of they're being initiated into Christ, but into the Christian community. And they're, like we said, they are a witness to us, those who have already been baptized, to renew our own baptism. And as they're going through this process, they need the prayers of the community to help them complete that journey.
Yeah. They are, you're right, they are an example to us of what it means to be on fire with faith,
mm-hmm.
right? They're examples to us of what it means to be in love with Christ. And they remind us of that baptism, the fervor of our baptism.
Right.
And at the same time, we, as the baptized, are signs to them.
Right.
We're icons to
absolutely.
Them. What it means to live
absolutely.
Following this Christ. And so there is that. There is very much that communal
mm-hmm.
aspect. You know, John Paul II, I've said this before on the air, I know, but John Paul II in Deus Domine made a comment, a point. He said, none of us is saved as individuals alone,
mm-hmm.
but always as part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Always as part of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so these are the ones who have been journeying with us. And so by our example, by our prayer, by our support, we help them. We assist them along that way.
Well, make a special effort when you come to Mass this weekend to find out who the catechumens and candidates are in your parish. You're probably going to hear their your name in the prayer of the faithful. That's often happens. Often the names are noted in the bulletin. Sometimes in my own parish used to have a bulletin board in the vestibule of the church with their photographs.
With their pictures, yeah.
So you could identify them. And of course, the third, fourth, and fifth Sundays of Lent, the scrutiny Sundays, one of the masses in your parishes, we'll be celebrating those. So it's really evident who these people are. You've probably seen them being dismissed from the community to break open the word in another place. So be mindful and attentive to who they are and pray for them.
Yeah, particularly at this time, at the beginning of Lent, this last stage of their journey. That whole celebration of the rite of election, we'll talk more about that when we come back from this break. So stay with us here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. We'll be back right after these messages.
Today we are told, be imitators of Christ. Extend his mission in the world. Be his generous, healing, and compassionate presence.
Be imitators of Christ. The words of St. Paul used by Cardinal Francis George to encourage your generous participation in the annual Catholic Appeal 2012.
In the Archdiocese of Chicago, the annual Catholic Appeal sustains Catholic schools and parishes, programs of religious education and ministerial formation, and initiatives to foster respect for life and to make the world more just, peaceful, and loving.
All funds raised are carefully spent to do God's work. It's our chance to live, proclaim, and grow our faith.
In this year, dedicated in our Archdiocesan Pastoral Plan to teens and young adults, the annual Catholic Appeal supports efforts to pass on the treasures of faith to a new generation of believers.
The annual Catholic Appeal is a pledge campaign where you can make a gift payable in installments, and those gifts translate into charity felt in your parish, across the Archdiocese, indeed around the world.
Beyond the Archdiocese, the Appeal serves people in need worldwide through Catholic relief services without regard for religious affiliation when their lives are devastated by illness, wars, and famines, and by natural disasters.
Please give generously to the annual Catholic Appeal. Make your pledge at your parish or go to www.annualcatholicappeal.com. That's www.annualcatholicappeal.com. It's your chance to do God's work throughout the year.
Every element of our mission, every one of our efforts, reflects our service as imitators of Christ.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
We are talking about the season of Lent, which we begin today with the great day of Ash Wednesday. And right before that break, Danielle, we were talking about the rite of election. The rite of election being that diocesan ritual. Mm-hmm. It's every diocese celebrates this rite. The diocesan liturgy by which those who have been catechumens, the unbaptized who are seeking baptism into Christ Jesus, and the candidates, those who have been baptized but are seeking full communion of the Catholic Church, they take part in this rite, and by that rite they enter into their final stage of preparation. They enter into that 40-day retreat we were talking about before.
They do, and their status, in a sense, changes. They move from catechumens to elect.
Their name changes, they have been elected
by God. And there's an interesting connotation that we have with the word election or elect. And in this country, obviously, we think about it in terms of political elections and appointing people and things like that. But in this context, it's that we are called. We are called by name by God. We are elected by God. And this is the period of time where that's emphasized in the rite.
That idea, yeah, election, it's cast, you know, we think, like you said, casting votes, mm-hmm. huh? It's either yay or nay, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. Thumbs up or thumbs down. And that's, as you say, that's not what it is. It's actually very scriptural, mm-hmm. you know, to be the elect, to be elected by God is to be chosen by mm-hmm. God.
Right.
That's what it means.
Exactly.
And these are God's chosen ones who are coming to him through the RCIA, through this process of conversion. Mm-hmm. Through this journey of conversion. And so, yeah, they have a change in status, as you say. They have a change in name. Mm-hmm. They're no longer catechumens. They are now the elect. But that, I think that points to something else that we kind of need to remind ourselves of. These liturgies aren't just nice ceremonies.
No.
I mean, God acts in these
yes.
liturgies.
And, yes.
and in this one in particular, in the rite of election that takes place at the cathedral, God is active in that liturgy. And God, that it's in that God does something mm-hmm. to them. He chooses them. Mm-hmm. He elects them.
Mm-hmm.
And the church publicly recognizes that in the liturgy itself.
Right.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that there's the ritual signing of the book of the elect, that they're actually signing their name in this book that is then displayed. And it's, I have called you by name.
Yeah. Yeah, and that book is taken down to the cathedral
mm-hmm.
In this rite of election. It's they're beautiful liturgies. They really mm-hmm. are. They're liturgies of the word, mm-hmm. and it's not a mass.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point after the homily, all of the parish RCIA directors, the pastors or the parish representative, gets up and calls by name those catechumens who have been chosen for initiation this Easter, and those candidates. So they could call each of them by name.
Mm-hmm.
They come up into the sanctuary. They greet the bishop as the one who calls them by name in Christ.
Right.
And as catechumens, they're elected, and as candidates, they're recognized.
Right. Only the catechumens actually sign the book.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Only the catechumens, because those who have been baptized, their names are already inscribed in the book of life.
Right.
And so they don't need to.
Right.
To
exactly.
Do that.
You know, the great thing about this ritual is, you know, parishes from all across the diocese have their own RCIA teams and catechumens and candidates, but they're sending them to the cathedral church, which is the mother church. It's a sign of unity
mm-hmm.
of the universal church.
Yep.
And the bishop, as the head of that church, of that local church, is present. So there's a yeah. profound, you know, implications of this, that you're not just initiated into this single parish community. It's this whole universal relationship
yeah.
there.
Every year, those are some of the comments that we hear from those that are elected
mm-hmm.
and those that are recognized. Is it what a show of church?
Right, exactly.
And I love that point that you made. They're not being initiated into a community. It's not a club. We're
mm-hmm.
not initiated into a club, as Cardinal George is fond of saying. We're initiated into the body of Christ,
right.
and it's much bigger.
Right,
much bigger than just my parish community.
And
you really see that at the rites of election.
Mm-hmm.
Parishes from all over the archdiocese come, and from
every culture,
every race
mm-hmm.
every language, every way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And that's it is an image of the heavenly Jerusalem
mm-hmm.
in that
mm-hmm.
sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just that imagery from those words of John and the Revelation. And that is not a sign, that is not a symbol that goes unnoticed by those elect. Over and over again, what a profound experience
mm-hmm.
it is of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's one part in the rite of election where after everyone has been called forward, after the bishop has elected the catechumens, after the bishop has recognized the candidates for continued conversion, he turns back to the congregation and he asks that all of the books of the elect be raised.
Mm,
and
mm-hmm,
so you look out
mm-hmm.
over the cathedral, and there are all over people holding up these beautiful books
mm-hmm.
of those whose name, you know, it holds the names of those who will be
mm-hmm.
Baptized. And it's a profound moment.
Yeah, it is.
And then the bishop then sends the elect and the candidates
back
to their parishes,
mm-hmm.
back to the
mm-hmm.
congregation, with this admonition. He says, "Receive them now with the peace of Christ." And inevitably, every year, every rite, the cathedral just erupts in applause. Mm-hmm. You know, as the parishes then welcome them back, back to their seats, and there's congratulations and there's joy. And this last Sunday, I was standing over by the side where the elect stand, and came time to send them back to their pews, and there was a woman, an adult woman, was in tears. One of the catechumens who now an elect, she was in tears, and it was just quite moving.
Well, it can be overwhelming in a good way.
Well, you went through this, right?
Well, I did. Well, I was a candidate back in 1994, so it was the combined rites with the catechumens and the candidates. But yeah, I mean, going through that, I mean, you're there with all these people around you, and like you said, all different races and cultures and backgrounds, and it's an amazing experience, and it's very supportive and enriching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can only imagine that for the catechumens and the elect, how supportive it is for them. As we said, there are five of them that we celebrate here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. We celebrated the first the day before yesterday, this last Sunday, and then next two Sundays, there are actually two scheduled each of those Sundays at Holy Name Cathedral. Stay with us here on Focus on the Liturgy. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back to talk more about Lent and about the rites and the rituals that mark our journey, mark our process of continued conversion. We'll be right back.
Explore antique mechanical curiosities, including a 19th century steam engine and a European carousel. Enjoy an elegant dinner and participate in an auction emceed by WGN radio personality Gary Meyer, all at Catholic Charities Hearts for the Homeless fundraiser on Saturday, April 28th. Held at the magical San Filippo Estate in Barrington Hills, the event benefits Catholic Charities Northwest Regional Services and its New Hope Apartments program. For more information, visit www.catholiccharities.net/hearts or call 847-376-2118.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy, an element of programming in the Catholic Community of Faith here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
Danielle, before that last break here, entering into the second half of the show, we were talking about the rite of election, the great diocesan celebration takes place at the cathedral in every diocese across the world, the calling of the catechumens, their election for baptism this coming Easter, so this is the great rite that ushers them into their final period of preparation.
In the RCIA,
Lent is referred to as the period of purification and enlightenment.
Yes, it is. And I love how that purification and that enlightenment, that when you look at the readings for the third and fourth, fifth Sundays of Lent, they are intimately tied with what's going on with the RCIA, like the living water, the raising of Lazarus, the man born blind, that our eyes are open to this great joy. And, you know, that's what's going on with the catechumens. We're praying for them for this continued journey. The scrutinies are actually prayers of exorcism, which is surprising to some. But that's essentially that purification and enlightenment, that's what they're going through, and to that end journey of being fully initiated into that joy of resurrection.
All of the texts, the readings throughout the whole season, the texts of the Mass throughout the whole season highlight that.
Right.
You know, call Lent as a season of purification. Okay, I think many people get that, but enlightenment? Yeah. Because the idea is that for not just for the elect, but for us too,
right?
Throughout the season, we are more and more enlightened as to who Christ Jesus is and what he calls us to.
We become self-aware through our self-denial.
Traditionally, we've got the three disciplines. Let's spend some time talking about those. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We're going to hear it again if we haven't already been to Mass today. We're going to hear it in the Gospel. We're going to hear, you know, that call to those three ancient practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. What are you giving up this Lent?
Right.
That's always the question, right? All three of these practices. It always amazes me how we gravitate towards those, you know, throughout the season. All of them, none of them are ends in themselves. You know, all of them are the means by which we are more enlightened through this season.
Right.
You know, the means by which we are more purified.
And underneath it all is that whole idea of self-emptying. And it's the Greek word kenosis. And you know, Jesus gave of himself completely. And that's what we're called to do. And there's a deeper meaning of, you know, I'm, you know, giving up chocolate for Lent, but why?
Right. Right. That's what I meant. Mm-hmm. None of these are ends in themselves. It's, you know, they're all meant to be a means for us.
Right.
You mentioned the self-emptying, the great Philippian hymn.
Mm-hmm.
Though he was in the form of God,
right,
Christ did not understand his equality with God, something to be grasped,
right,
held on to, kept to himself,
right,
but rather he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. That's emptying. That's what these three practices are meant to help us do, so that we can be filled with God.
It's all about gift. If you
How
think
so?
About it, well, we're giving, Christ gave that ultimate gift of his life, and we are giving up of ourselves to be filled with Christ, to receive that gift, but we're also giving to others. In prayer, we become more closely united with Christ. In fasting, what are we fasting from so that we can receive Christ more fully? And in almsgiving, what are we giving of ourselves to each other?
In fasting, I always have that image of fasting. At the heart of it, really is making room. You know,
right?
By doing without something,
right?
Whether
What's
it's
the
food,
clutter in our life,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Whether it's food, whether it's a practice that we fast from, whether it's a certain behavior that we fast from, whether it's a certain way of thinking that we fast. Whatever it is. The idea, we fast from it to make room.
Right.
For what? For who? For Christ.
Well, fasting is one of that interesting aspects of the three disciplines, because I think people, prayer, almsgiving, it's very clear what those mean, but there's very different ways of understanding fasting. I think we automatically think we're fasting from food.
Right.
But it's more than that.
Exactly. And we're fasting from food to lose weight.
Right.
No.
Right. No. It's not, no.
It's the that idea of going without something in order to make
mm-hmm.
room.
Mm-hmm. And it's in all different ways, you know. Is your life consumed with television or Facebook or radio? You know, I've been seeing it posted on Facebook all week. I'm giving up Facebook for Lent. You know, I mean, people have very different ways of doing that because that consumes our life.
And it gives no room for Christ. Mm-hmm. Gives no room mm-hmm. for God to mm-hmm. act. Mm-hmm. And so, what a great way of talking about it. And so, by fasting from that. You provide that room.
Right.
Stay with us here on Focus on the Liturgy. We'll be back after this break.
Catholic Charities West Regional Advisory Board will host its 9th annual St. Patrick's Day fundraiser on Thursday, March 8th from 6:30 to 9:30 at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn, Illinois. Tickets are $50 in advance and include hearty Irish fare, soda, spirits, music, and dancing. The event benefits Catholic Charities' New Hope Housing Program in West Cook County. For more information, call 708-329-4022 or visit www.catholiccharities.net/STPATS.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. See, a proof that Lent is a season of joy. Danielle and I and Brian, our producer, were just having a laugh there during the break. We were talking about the three disciplines, mm-hmm. The three ancient traditional disciplines of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And actually, also during that break, Danielle, I think there was a good point made. You talked about it before that last break in the sense of to what end?
Mm-hmm.
We don't just fast in order to lose weight or just for fasting's sake. We don't give alms just for that. All three of those practices, or whatever way, by whatever way we mark Lent, all of them are meant to do something to us. They're a means in, you know, not an end in themselves. Well, what are they a means to?
Well, it's leading us to conversion so that, you know, we're emptying ourselves more completely so that we can be filled with Christ. That is that the end to what we're doing. We're journeying to be, like we said before, conform more like the image of Christ. And in order to do that, we need to empty ourselves of all of the excess, the things that are getting in the way, the clutter that prevent us from who we're called to be.
Right. And that culminates at the end of Lent
mm-hmm.
with baptism for those who are in the RCIA, in the catechumenate, and for those of us who are already baptized, it culminates in our renewal.
Right.
That's the end, right?
Right. I mean, there are two themes to Lent, and I think we're very good at the penance aspect, but we forget about the baptism. And you made an excellent point on the break that if we don't, if we think about penance without baptism, then it's meaningless.
It makes no sense. Mm-hmm. What is the penance for? What's the self-denial for? What's the extra prayer, the extra almsgiving for? All of those are means by which we prepare to renew our baptism at Easter.
Right.
That's the focus.
Right.
That's the end.
Right.
That's what should be in all of our minds. And apart from that renewal of baptism, our Lenten observance doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All of it is meant to prepare us to renew our baptism either at the Great Easter Vigil or on Easter Sunday.
Right.
You know,
right.
that's the culmination when we stand together as the body of Christ and we say what it is we renounce and who it is we believe in.
Right. And that's what we're preparing for.
Right.
Both as those seeking baptism and those who are renewing the baptism.
That's the whole purpose of the 40 days.
You know, and we think of Lent sometimes as an isolated season, but really it's this one continuous season that changes of Lent, Triduum, and Easter. There's a unity
right.
in that.
Right.
And it naturally flows. We can't have Easter without Lent, and we can't have Lent without Easter.
The 40 days leads into the 50 days, right? With the 3 days in between of the Paschal Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. But there's that journey theme we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a journey through these 93 days, right?
And I love how Lent starts because the first Sunday of Lent in the circular letter, Paschale Solemnitatis, which talks about the preparation of the Easter feast, it recommends doing a procession on the first Sunday of Lent.
Right.
And even tying that in with the Litany of Saints, that we begin our Lenten journey surrounded by the prayers of those who have gone before us, and we process together as a symbol of this journey that we're taking on together as a church.
And that journey ends on Holy Saturday night
with
the same way.
Yes, we process to the font, the water of life.
For baptism or for renewal of baptism.
Mm-hmm.
That baptismal focus, I think, is so key to really understanding this season.
It is.
We heard it in that first preface that you quoted at the very first start of the start of the show, that first preface from Lent.
Mm-hmm.
So that with hearts, what is it?
The joy of minds made pure, so that more eagerly intent on prayer and on the works of charity and participating in the mysteries by which they have been reborn, they may be led to the fullness of grace that you bestow on your sons and daughters.
The mysteries by which we've been reborn.
Mm-hmm.
What are those mysteries?
Mm-hmm.
Baptism, being anointed in the Spirit, feasting on the bread of life and the cup of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
That's apart from that, none of what we're going into makes sense.
Right.
So for our listeners, if you're fasting, what is it you're going to fast for that will help you to prepare to renew your baptism at Easter?
Mm-hmm.
If you're giving alms, how will that help you prepare to renew the baptism in which you died and rose in Christ Jesus?
Right.
If you're concentrating on prayer for the season, how is that going to help you to prepare to renew your baptism at Easter?
I think parishes are very good at offering a lot of opportunities for people during the season.
Make use of them.
Yeah, there's many charitable organizations that are highlighted in the parishes. They'll be noted in the bulletin. More opportunities for prayer. The Liturgy of the Hours is often offered at this time to Zay.
Missions, nights of reflection, theology and soup nights.
Right,
a number of parishes do that. The rice bowl is still very, very popular.
Yeah.
Great way to mark the traditions. And in terms of the fasting, what each individual may choose on their own.
Mm-hmm.
These are the practices through which we prepare for that renewal, and in that renewal are conformed more into the image of Christ.
Right.
You know, or in that first reception of baptism, how the elect are conformed more to Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously for a later show, but nonetheless to mark it here, obviously then that ushers us into the great 50 days of celebration.
Yes, it
does. So not only to see Lent connected to baptism, but to see Lent connected to the greater 90-day journey of Lent, the Triduum, and Easter itself.
And we definitely need to think about it as that great 90-day journey, that there's a unity in all of that.
It's not just an individual season, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Right. And with the elect themselves, you've mentioned it a couple of times, the scrutiny rites mm-hmm. are a key part of the Lenten journey for not just the elect, but for us, mm-hmm. for the baptized as well. You mentioned the third, fourth, and fifth Sundays of mm-hmm. Lent. Those mm-hmm. are the days mm-hmm. on which these three rites are celebrated. And they are key moments of prayer, as you noted, and support, mm-hmm. The idea that scrutiny, I mean, even the name is mm-hmm. a little strange, mm-hmm. you know, what's being scrutinized?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, have we been conformed more to Christ? How have these elect, you know, lived their life? How do we help them continue that journey so that they can participate more fully?
The Gospels, those are the three key parts of them.
They're always for year A readings. It's the woman at the well, the man born blind, the raising of Lazarus. Those, when we have those scrutiny readings, those images from those scripture texts are tied throughout the prayer text of that day. So the prefaces for the Eucharistic prayer, you're going to hear the images from the scriptures. So if the scrutinies are done, regardless of what year it is during the lectionary cycle, you do the year A readings. And they're just beautiful texts.
Yeah.
They're theologically profound in terms of our own initiation. You know, the man born blind, what are we opening our eyes to repeatedly again and again? What have we closed off? And what do we need to open ourselves to?
The woman at the well, mm-hmm. you know, how is it, in what ways in my life am I parched mm-hmm. and thirsting for that life-giving
mm-hmm.
water?
Mm-hmm.
And Lazarus, where in my life is there death?
Right. Huh?
Where's their
new life?
The need to be, yeah, mm-hmm. the need. Where do I need to be called by Christ to new life? Those are the three Gospels that mark these three celebrations. And so for our listeners to be attentive to that when we get into the season, into the third, fourth, and fifth weeks.
And I think that's a good example of how the elect not only are a symbol for us, but we are a symbol for them, and how it goes back and forth, that we're always on an ongoing journey of conversion.
Yeah. Yeah, and in that journey together,
mm-hmm.
it's the chosen people
right.
journeying together. That there's that Exodus image. Huh?
Right.
It's the community
right.
journeying together. It's the body of Christ
right.
journeying together. And none of us is saved as individuals alone,
mm-hmm.
but always as
a community,
always as a member of the body. The fifth Sunday, then with the final scrutiny, and then we enter into close to Holy Week
mm-hmm.
and the conclusion of this great season, again with an image of procession.
Yeah, we begin with Palm Sunday, so we open up with the blessing of palms, and then there's a grand procession with those palms, and we start that day on a very high note, and then the liturgy naturally segues into a more somber tone, which enters us into Holy Week
mm-hmm.
and that journey. So we hear the Passion narrative and then celebrate the days of Holy Week, which leads us into the sacred Paschal Triduum with Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil, Easter Sunday.
And that whole image of journey and procession along
mm-hmm.
the way.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with us after these final breaks of the show. We'll be back with more Focus on the Liturgy right after these messages.
Pledge to run 26.2 miles in the 2012 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on October 7th with Team Catholic Charities. As a member of the team, you'll make a difference in the lives of more than 200,000 people in our emergency assistance programs in Cook and Lake Counties. Registration for the marathon is open and will sell out quickly, so join Team Catholic Charities today. You can also sponsor the team or join a committee. Call 312-655-7912 or visit www.catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon and we'll see you at the finish line.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll talk to Cardinal George about his ad limina visit to Rome and about turning 75. We'll show you highlights of the recent Posada on the streets surrounding Holy Name Cathedral. And our stewardship and development director will talk about all the good that comes from money collected during the annual Catholic Appeal.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, the director of the Catholic Charities Junior Board, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute. 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. In 2012, we celebrate the Junior Board's 10th anniversary. Listen for special events each month to commemorate 10 outstanding years. Is your New Year's resolution to volunteer? Join our volunteer committee on Monday, February 13th at 6 p.m. at 721 North LaSalle to discuss and sign up for 2012's exciting lineup of volunteer opportunities. If you enjoy event planning or just want to have a couple cocktails for a good cause, be at 721 North LaSalle on Tuesday, February 28th at 6 p.m. for the social committee meeting. Serve supper to the hungry and homeless on February 14th at 4:15 p.m. Package food for the emergency assistance program on February 21st at 6 p.m. Or join us for our Read to Me program that reads to kids in one of our shelters every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our junior board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
Welcome back to this final segment of Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
And on this great day of Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the solemn season of Lent, that's been our focus. Mm-hmm. And Danielle, LTP, Liturgy Training Publications, the publishing arm of the Archdiocese, you have numerous resources that listeners can make use of, mm-hmm, as a means of preparing themselves,
sure,
to renew their baptism.
Well, you know, learning more about our faith and prayer resources, it helps us, you know, think about our faith more and conform more and help renew ourselves with, you know, ongoing education and prayer. We have a number of resources that can help you. One of them is an annual resource called Keeping the Seasons, and this is great for parishes. It's a CD-ROM that has, it's basically bulletin inserts for each week of Lent, for the Triduum, for Easter time,
yeah,
exactly. So there's reflections on the scripture. There's prayers that you can use at home, as a family, as individuals. You can put them in the bulletin. There's also reproducible art that's specific to the gospel readings for that season that you can use in different ways. So it's a resource for parishes to use to give out to families. Mm-hmm. However, if it's in the bulletin or giving it out at adult faith formation sessions or other events that the parish is scheduling. So it's a great resource for that. We have these source books that Todd absolutely loves.
Always love the source books.
He loves
books.
These resources.
And they're going out of print.
They are going out of print, but we have the Lent ones for a while, and I believe it's a two-volume set for,
mm-hmm,
Lent. But it's basically, it's an anthology of prayer texts, ancient prayer texts, and reflections from the church fathers and
poetry,
other theologians.
Music,
yeah,
stories, an anthology, mm-hmm, of writings that just help to focus a person throughout the season.
Right. And you can choose to read through it as an individual. If you're a parish minister and you're creating or writing a day of reflection and you need sources to use, there's a number of texts that are in this book, and it's organized by the weeks of Lent.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on what the readings are for that week, you can find other reflections and other texts that will correspond to that.
An excellent resource for individuals.
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing for Lent?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. These little booklets by Paul Turner. And basically, it's a short resource that's kind of like a retreat.
It's like a journal, you know?
It's a journal to help guide your reflections
throughout the
journey. Oftentimes, parishes buy them in bulk and give them out, and it can be used throughout the Lenten season. We also have them available for teens as well.
That's at LTP, which you can access on the web.
Mm-hmm, www.ltp.org.
And phone number 1-800-933-1800. There you are. You've been listening to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. We've been breaking open the season of Lent, and in particular this day, Ash Wednesday. So to all of our listeners, to you, Danielle, happy Ash Wednesday.
And happy Lent.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.